Hello again and welcome back. It's been a while. It's kind of weird with the week off, with the All-Star break, and kind of, we're shaking things up a little bit. I'm not used to it, but I'm glad to be back on the pod again. This is the NBA Boys Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Fletch. Tonight, just like always, I'm very, very excited for every guest that I have on, but tonight we've got a special one coming in outside of the United States. This man has tried his best to spend every waking minute of COVID outside of U.S. borders. And so he's coming live from Mexico tonight. Hopefully the Wi-Fi can handle it. And also Yankees season ticket holder Garrett Palmieri is here. How are we doing, Garrett?
Hey Fletch, been waiting for this moment for what week were we in? Week 13, so 13 weeks. Super excited to be here. Yes, I have been doing my best just to be in warm weather at all during COVID. Mexico, not gonna lie, it's nice setting the lineup from Playa del Carmen.
Yeah, it's got to help a little bit to feel some warmer air than we're getting here in New Jersey, with it currently being like 50 degree, or no, less than 50 degrees, but like 50 mile per hour winds. So
Oh.
that's got to be real nice to get in some sunshine right now.
Yeah, most definitely. I can't say it makes up for the stings of my seven losses, but I guess take it with a grain of salt.
Right. Take it with a grain of salt. There are worse things. But yeah, so talking towards that, I basically, in my past podcast, I've gone through the same sort of spiel, ask people, okay, who you picking up, who you dropping, who do you like, who you don't like. And for you, it's kind of a different conversation because our teams have the same record. We're both mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. So anything we do within these next 2 weeks is kind of useless. We could shake things up a little bit. We'll get to that later in terms of some playoff implications. But
Absolutely.
overall, Garrett, talk to me about the story of your team this season.
So, the story of my team, it's first time running a fantasy basketball team. I didn't really know what to expect. I clearly didn't know how to, take my draft. Good basketball players and players like LBJ and Pascal Siakam, even Jonas Valanciunas. I just wasn't dominant enough in the categories that it needed to be dominant in. So, time in and time out, my team was putting up okay numbers in five or six categories, but most likely there were five or six categories that the other team was just blowing me out of the water.
And so taking the knowledge that you've learned this year and looking ahead to next season, because that's where our minds have to go at this point, right? We have to look ahead to next year.
Absolutely.
Draft day is the most important time of any fantasy season. Talk to me about some of like the strategies you might bring into the draft room when we do this next time around.
Yeah, so I think there'll definitely be more preparation in terms of studying up on the categories, really trying to go into the draft targeting specific categories, whether, and it could be, players that don't have a lot of turnovers or, just beasts for rebounds, whatever it may be. I think I have a bunch of players that like do a little bit of a lot instead of players that do a lot of bit of their, specific specialty.
Okay, gotcha. So you feel like you have a lot of players that like, across the board, they get maybe a steal here and there, they get assists, they get rebounds, but they're not dominant players.
No.
Not everyone on your team was a draft miss. You had some good pickups in there. LeBron's played like every minute of every game this season, which has been huge.
Yeah,
So
I was
talk to me
worried about that
about,
actually.
yeah, I mean, as was I feel like LeBron slips farther and farther in drafts every year. Everyone thinks, hey, he's not going to play every minute. He's going to take days off. The back-to-backs with this year was concerning. But the GOATs play, the best players always
Great
play.
play.
So talk to me
Yeah.
about some other players that you drafted that have actually turned out to be pretty decent picks, other than LeBron.
I think, first player I have to mention is Colin Sexton. He came out of the gates this season and was just, you know, everybody was talking about it being his breakout season. You know, he's, I think he's 23.6 points a game or something like that, with around 4 assists. So, and his turnover, you know, his turnovers could be lower, but, you know, in terms of points, like, great player. I was expecting probably 4 or 5 less points a game. ESPN comes up in Spanish sometimes, so
because of location.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I just got Mexican ESPN.
Wow, awesome. That's definitely got to make it a little bit hard to read off stats right now.
It's not incredible, no. But yeah, so I mean, like, going off of that, Colin Sexton is definitely, I think one of my better draft picks for what I expected.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And you snagged him with pick number 67 in the 6th round. I mean, that's for the value you've seen out of him this season. Let's see, on ESPN, his player rank. Okay, position rank 20, but I think he's been hurt or has had COVID, right?
Yeah, he's missed some time.
Right. So the position rank doesn't really tell the story of what he's truly been. Great value for you as a young guy. The turnovers, I mean, that's just going to happen. He's a point guard, and with young players, are usually more inconsistent. So I think that'll go away as he gets older. But what about someone on your team that you drafted that, hey, like, you're not, you shouldn't have drafted them that high, number one, or you shouldn't have drafted it at all?
So I was looking at this earlier, and I have a couple players that came to mind. One being, Bohan Bogdanovic.
Mm-hmm.
I think I drafted him not incredibly early, but I think I might have drafted him in the 5th round. He should not have been drafted then. He didn't give me the output I nearly wanted out of him.
Yeah.
And then a big one that I was super disappointed in, who I thought was going to be a steal pick, was Seth Curry.
Oh, yeah.
I thought coming into the Sixers, you know, and I got him late. So it's not super disappointing, but, like, he was my second to last pick. But I was hoping he was going to come into the Sixers lineup and just light up from behind the arc. Right. And granted, he's had COVID and like an injury or two. But he's, you know, 2 threes a game. It was just not the output that I was hoping from him. You know, he's playing worse than he was in 2020.
Yeah. Which definitely hurts.
Behind Luka.
Yeah.
So
that hurts a lot. I mean, coming to Philadelphia, there was a lot of buzz. Yeah, this kid's going to start. He's going to get the minutes. I mean, that was a great pick. I think just having that idea, taking him in the 12th round at that point, you're just taking flyers anyway. So he just won that, you know, didn't really work out, but I don't mind the pick there. And I think you're exactly right with Bogdanovic. He's basically kind of like a fringe fantasy player anyway. And at that round, you want to make sure you have like solid role players.
That was an inexperienced draft.
Yeah. But talk about the trade that you had, because you were able to ship Bojan. So talk about that trade with John and Mark.
Yeah. So I remember the day that I forget who posted in the chat of the picture of the trade. And I was like, what is good with this? And I'm thinking like, oh man, did I get swindled? It was you.
It was me. I was just confused. I was like, what's happening?
I was, you know, I saw that comment. I was worried I was getting swindled. Oh, and that was, I think he was dropped. I had to drop him.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a move. I needed to ship Warren. I needed him off my IR. He was just a waste of space for me.
Right.
I was looking to get wins in the moment. I think it worked out for me, at least in that short term. I think Joe Ingles worked out for, I think, what I needed. I probably held on to him maybe too long, but at this point I'm kind of, for the most part, I think I'm sticking with what I have a little bit. But so I guess kind of on the trade talk, I have a question if this is allowed.
Sure. I mean, go
so,
for it.
What is what I think I failed to catch the conversation between you and Joe talking about trades. What's like the trade situation for teams like us? You know, we're out of the playoffs, but I'm definitely looking to play spoiler, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you can find something that works, go for it. I mean, if like me and you were able to make a trade, right, then that's right. Fine. Like, who cares? Like, the only reason why we would make a trade is to try to, I mean, I'm playing John, and I know John's trying to make a run for the postseason right now. If I spoiled John's night, that would be the only reason why I would want to make a trade. So I think the hardest part right now is trying to find a trade partner. You've got those that are at the top of the league that like their squad and don't want to move any pieces. And then you have us at the bottom that are just kind of like chilling. So I'm fine,
of course,
as long as like it works out and it's not obvious collusion.
So that brings me to my next point, my surprise. I told you before we started recording, I had a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
I love your answer. So I don't know if you're aware, but Malik Beasley, who was doing very well for me.
Awesome.
A lot of the season, suspended because of, I think it was he failed the drug test, mm-hmm. stuff like that, or he was caught with drugs. I've been looking to ship him, and I believe – oh, I had a deal with Mark to ship him out, but it seems that he has not wanted to trade anymore. So I was going to do, yeah, funny that this is part of the podcast. I do love that. Yeah.
We love the uncertainty. That's great. So who was Mark trying to trade?
So I wanted a now player in potentially Vic Oladipo, and they would get Beasley for the playoffs.
Okay.
Granted that they make the playoffs. Right. I think I might be missing a component of the deal that Mark wanted. So I guess it's not going to happen during the podcast. I really wanted to make it happen during the podcast.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. It could have been a first, yeah. But oh well.
still a first. Just I look like a dummy.
No, don't look like a dummy at all. You're bringing good content here. I love it. Well, you know what? I mean, it's an interesting trade. Why would you want Oladipo just to like have him?
He was putting out the same. He's putting out a similar output to Beasley, I'm pretty sure. Where and I'm. Beasley would be useless to me, and he still has 2 or 3 weeks on the suspension.
Right. So there's really no.
So that was my thought process. I wanted a now player to maybe ruin anybody's chances of playoff and mess up the seeding, but you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is, right? And you know what? If yesterday had worked out a little bit differently for you in your matchup against Benny. I mean, the trade would have made a ton of sense because if you had just won out one yesterday and then the next two matchups, you actually could be going for a playoff spot if Coots continues his downward trend. So I like the move. I mean, it's interesting. You're still shaking things up, and I like it.
Connection issue.
that's what Calder Mexico does. Oh, boy. We lost him, folks. Oh, he's gone. Wow. He got kicked out of the Zoom meeting. He's gone. Just kidding. Oh, he's back.
Oh, here he's back. Are.
We're still recording.
I didn't catch any of that.
you were flat out kicked out of the Zoom call, man.
Yep.
This is going to be a wild ride for those that are going to be listening at home.
That's for sure. We're talking about trades that aren't happening.
Yeah. Talking about trades that aren't happening. Losing connection. It's just, you know what? This is the story of our season in a Zoom call, I think. It looked good on day one, and now not so much. So let's just try to ride this out and finish it up. Let's go into the matchup recaps of the week.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, let's move forward. Let's keep trucking. Okay. We've got a lot of matchups to go through. it was really close across the board. But first of all, let me talk about my matchup. Just pulling it up now. Cool. So tough loss for me. Chokan edged out another win with league-leading field goal percentage. I mean, granted, I had the second highest field goal percentage in the league, and I lose 5-4 against Chokan. So if I wasn't playing him, I might have won. It was probably my team's best game of the year, but got to give to Chokan. His team's incredible. Jokic, for me, gets the MVP of the week. 183 minutes, 57% from the field, 85 from the line, 59 rebounds, 46 assists, and 150 points. The big Chungus is easily my pick for fantasy MVP.
But I didn't even know about that. That's an incredible stat line for the week. Jeez.
Yeah, it's nuts. Jokic literally does everything. And that's not – I didn't even read off, like, his block totals or what he would do for steals. I think he hit some threes as well. Like, the dude just does everything. He's crazy.
Yeah, I love to watch Jokic, honestly. Like, if I ever, like – have the chance to catch a basketball game, I'm hoping it's a Nuggets game, because, you know, like, I love his cross-court passes. You know, he's pulling up every now and then. Like, he's just an exciting player to watch at, what are these, 6'10" or something like that. Like, how tall is he? Yeah. Like, insane.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like pretty much a 7-footer doing things that a guard would do. But speaking of, like, watching him play, and, you know, we had this break because of the All-Star last Sunday. Did you get to catch any of that during your travels?
So I got a chance to catch a little bit of the dunk contest and a little bit of the All-Star game. I didn't get too much of the three-point contest. Mm-hmm. But talking about shooters, you know, Steph and Dame just going off from half court. Steph doing the no-look three, you know. Giannis just completely taking control. I don't even know. I want to know what KD was thinking drafting the team that he did.
I know, same. He picked a horrible team.
Like, even on paper, it wasn't even close, you know?
Yeah, not even close.
It was absolutely – it was almost, like, sad, but then you got to watch, you know, Dame hit 170th.
I'm losing you, Garrett. I'm losing you.
I can hear you now.
Okay, cool. Pretty much just run through everything you just said all over again.
Everything I just said. So, what was the last thing you heard? Did you hear Giannis?
I heard Giannis tearing it up. And then you start talking about Dame again, I think. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was saying, like the teams were just so unfair. It's like 100 to achieve 170 points, even in an All-Star game. It's like, what is that? And Dame's hitting it from half court for fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, it's just, LeBron just picked a way better team. I would love him to pick my fantasy team next year.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like definitely. He's got it down.
Yeah, he's got a good awareness of the strength of his players around him. And did you happen to catch, like, the draft coverage?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay, because I watched that with Noel, and I think I got almost all of LeBron's picks right. Like, before LeBron was gonna pick, I was like, okay, he's gonna take this person, and most of the time I got it right. KD, I couldn't get a single one right. The fact that he took, like, Kyrie Irving first was wild, and he flubbed it. I don't know. I guess it just doesn't have the awareness like LeBron does of his peers.
And don't get me wrong, like, always, you know, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, right? You know, all ballers. It's just like, they lacked just in size the automatic shooting abilities of, you know, Curry and Dame and Luka. Like you said, like, you couldn't guess who KD was going to pick, because he just wasn't picking, like, based on stats or, like, actual ability. I feel like he was just picking his boys.
Yeah, yeah. I think point. So too. Like, especially because he took Kyrie first. I feel like
he
picked him because he's his friend and his teammate. but maybe it'll change next year. I mean, you could also say that, hey, like Kevin Durant wasn't playing. So it's harder to pick a team that you're not playing with than one that you are. I guess you could make that argument, spin zone it.
Yeah, I guess. Because at that point, you're picking players to play together instead of being, I guess, the focal point like LeBron is.
Yeah.
You know, he picked players, I guess, who would either accent his playing ability or I mean, complement his playing ability.
Right.
Or, you know, shine in areas that he doesn't. But I was disappointed to see KD not play also.
Yeah. Like, I was too. It's tough. Same thing with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. Oh, from their barber.
Yeah, that sucks. But good for Simmons. I saw that he's sticking by his barber. So,
oh, you have to.
Yeah,
I saw the quote. He was like, I can't get a lineup like that anywhere else. Something like that. I feel that. You know, you get a good haircut from somebody, you want to keep going back to
them. Yeah, you know? True. Yeah. I do the same thing. I mean, I don't get a haircut in New Jersey. I go home to Seneca Falls when I visit my family, and then I get haircuts. So
we need to get you a Jersey barber.
Yeah, you got to point one out to me, and then I'll go. You got to find one for me.
You can't be driving home that far. How far is that drive?
You know, like 5.5.
Give it a cue to see the family.
Right,
oh,
exactly.
God, for a haircut.
My hair's getting long. Oh, I miss my folks. Yeah. Yeah. So if you could, I mean, point out a barber, anyone that's listening and still listening at this point, I appreciate you sticking with us and all the troubles, but point out a good barber for me. I'm in the market.
Well, eventually I'll be back in the area and searching for a barber. So I'll let you know.
There we go. You can work as a team. So moving right along, because we kind of got off track there. Let's go talk about your matchup, Garrett. You and Benny tied. I didn't pick an MVP for this game because neither team got the win in the end, but you guys tied in categories 4-4-1, and it was end up being points that came down to it. That's pretty crazy that it's literally the same amount of points for each team, but talk to me about it from your side.
So first off, at the beginning of the matchup, I didn't know it was a 2-week matchup. I didn't even think about the All-Star game. You know, I was thinking, oh, it's just a short week, you know, hopefully my players do well. And he was clobbering me, and I texted him. I was like, I'm so disappointed. And he was like, we were talking before the day before the matchup started. And he's like, he wanted to beat me. He wanted to make sure that he beat me because really his team is, you know, his team is better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, and he's lucky, that if I was on top, that I'd be talking about it a lot on this podcast. I would have made it the focal point. But
oh, of course.
So moving forward, after the All-Star break, I'm kind of thinking, I think I was down in like 6 categories. And I was like, oh man, you know, my team hasn't been known for coming back in the end of the week. For some reason, it feels like the end of the week and all my matchups, it's just my players go kaput.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Sunday night, Ben and I are texting back and forth because he has Lou Will in and I have Markieff Morrison as our last players playing in the Clippers game. And they're both having terrible games. Morrison was, I think, went like 0 for 5 or 0 for 6 with 3 boards. His last board being the one that put me over for to get the tie instead of the loss.
No way.
Yeah. So I'm like texting back and forth. You know, just like talking over. He's like, oh, if I lose, I'm going to kill myself. And I was like, Benny, if I lose, I'm going to kill myself. Like, we were basically just hoping one player didn't suck more than the other.
Yeah.
Wild. It was fun, though. I think the tie is funny to have with Benny. I don't know what, I don't remember what it does to his, if it affects his playoff bracket, but oh well, I guess it's possible if he were to lose the next 2 weeks that he might get booted from the playoffs. I think it would be funny if the tie is what does it to him.
I know I was looking at that before we hopped on the call too, and you know, the tie doesn't help or hurt you at all, which is, you know, mm-hmm. not bad. And he did solidify a full game ahead of John, which basically forces John to win out the rest of the season. And Benny is really in control of his own destiny. Like, if you look at Benny's schedule for the last 2 weeks of the year, he's playing Joe this week, which honestly, Benny should win being a playoff team. And then in the last week, he's playing me, which he should win again. So Benny's playing two easier matchups than John is. John's going against me this week. And then he plays Castaldo and Mark in matchup 13, which would be really tough for him because they're looking solid right
they're
now.
They're a tough squad.
Yeah, they're a good group. So Benny is in much more of control of his own destiny right now than John is. And the tie really solidifies that, hey, John's got to win it out. And Benny would have to, like, blow up to win, to lose. So it's interesting that it worked out that way. I'm sure Benny's, like, I'm sure Benny's not sad that he got a tie instead of a loss.
The blow up, like you said, like, it seems like his matchups should be dubs.
Yeah, they should be at that point. Now, what I'm really interested in learning is, all right, we've talked about this East-West situation all year. The question's been brought up to me. I know the question's been brought up to Benny. And it's like, okay, for the playoffs, are we taking the top six teams in terms of record, or are we taking three from the East and three from the West? If you look at it right now, Benny should be in, but Coots' team has not been playing well as of lately. Coots' team is 6-5, and John's 5-5-1. John could very well win the last two of the year, go 7-5-1. If Coots loses literally one game, then you would think, okay, Coots would come out of the playoffs and then John would be in. But does that break, you know, does that break the rule of 3-3? So what actually is going to happen here if things work out? So I'm not the best person to talk about this.
I, for one, would love to know.
I definitely would know. And I know who could give us that answer. So why don't we call Benny right now? First time ever on the pod. Try to get Benny on the phone. Give us a live answer. He's not expecting. He's no idea this call is coming. I'm going to call him right now. I'll put it on speaker. I hope my headphones can pick this up. Can you hear that ring? Oh, we lost Garrett.
I'm here.
Can you hear it ring?
Clutch.
Benny.
Yeah.
What is going on, my friend?
Nothing much now. What's up with you?
Not much. I'm actually recording the podcast live with Garrett. And
I'm on right now?
You're on right now, man. And we have a question for you.
Okay.
Looking at the standings and the playoff implications, what's the rule for the top six that go into the playoffs? Is it?
I don't know. I don't. Someone hit me up a couple weeks ago, and they were like, "Oh, what is it?" I don't know. I have no idea.
I feel like no one knows, and I tried to do my homework and dig into the settings and the league rules. It just doesn't tell you.
No, it doesn't. And but something I noticed, I went to the scheduled playoff bracket, and it has right now. It has me as the fifth seed, and then I think Coots as the sixth, which I think that means if you look right now, I don't remember if it's 3v3 or what, like three from each conference or what. I don't know. I feel like it's not. I feel like
right now that would be 3-3.
Possible.
Yeah, right now it's 3-3.
It's three from each in the scheduled playoff bracket.
Yeah, it's three from each. In the East, it's you, Shokan, and Kappa. In the West, it's Ian, Jonna Mark, and Coots. And the biggest reason why this comes up is, like, you look at John's team. They're 5-5-1. Coots' team is kind of struggling right now at 6-5. If John wins out and finishes 7-5-1, and then Coots loses one and finishes 7-6, then John technically should be in.
Yes. Are they in the same conference?
They're not in the same conference. So,
then theoretically, yes.
Yeah. Theoretically, yes. But I'm interested to see what works out. I mean, obviously, we can't tell the story of the last 2 weeks of the season, but that's something for everyone to look for sure.
Yeah, my sincere hope is that it's not like that and no one gets screwed, especially me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, Benny, I appreciate it, man. This is the first for all of us.
Wow, I'm honored to be on.
Of course. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right, see ya.
So I feel like we have an answer, but also not an answer.
Yeah, we don't have an answer. But you know what? I think if it comes down to it, maybe there's something that Benny and I can do with being the league commissioner. I don't know if there even is. I don't want to overpromise anything to anybody. But of course, we just have to sit back and see what the story of the season is.
I kind of like the ambiguity of it, especially since I guess it's more fun for me and maybe even you, you know, not being in the playoff picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if the season gets a little crazy and, you know, John does win out and say Coots drops down, it will be really interesting to see everybody's reactions, you know, because, you know, one person is going to be pissed in the situation if something like that happens.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I think, as a bystander to it, it's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it at least gets a conversation going, which is pretty much taken up the time of this of this podcast, which is perfect. So let's move back to our matchups because we're still not done talking about those yet. The next one is Ian and Bilu. Ian just dominated this one. Best category average in the league for the week. He had 7 categories in the top 5. And his MVP, Dame Time Lillard, went for 219 minutes. He shot 44% from the field, 90% from the line. He had 31 three-pointers, 45 assists, 7 steals, and 182 points. Like, incredible. Incredible numbers. But, Garrett, who's your pick right now if you had to pick one to be the winner? Shokan or Ian?
That is tough. I mean, like, I don't remember. I believe I've already played Ian. I know my matchup against Shokan, he just completely, I'm pretty sure he wiped the floor with me.
Mm-hmm.
And from, I listened to both their podcasts, and it seems like, you know, John was talking about the spreadsheet, and like, he keeps like he actively tracks every stat and keeps a power ranking for everything for all the different teams. You know, I have to think that John is coming the most prepared. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win, you know, that really is more up in the air, you know, depending on the players. But John seems like he's done the most preparation I've heard from anyone in the league.
Interesting. So your pick would be John.
I guess I'd have to go with John based on that.
Gotcha. I'd say it's a safe pick looking at his record right now at the top of the league.
Yeah.
So the next matchup we have to talk about, another big contender. Like, imagine not being on a 6-game win streak. Imagine. Coppola takes a big dub, 7-2, over the Greek Freak in Coots. Crazy. 6 in a row.
I'm sure he is feeling amazing about his team right now. You know, I guess I can't imagine what it's like to not. I can't imagine what it's like to be on a 6-week win streak. But hats off to him for his team coming out and doing that. You know, Brandon Ingram went off with 128 points.
Yeah, he was my pick for MVP of the week for his team. Kappa's team was like pretty balanced overall. Like, a lot of guys had solid weeks, but overall, mm-hmm. I thought Ingram had the best.
Yeah, I'm looking at the box score right now too, and like, you know, he nears the top in a lot of the categories. Really, I mean, like, it seems like he was just an all-out baller this week.
Yeah, Kappa, like always, he's really good at free throw percentage. He's really good at three pointers. Really good at assists. He gets top 5 in all 3 of those. He also did well in blocks, and then he gets points too. So, if Kappa keeps it up, man, his team is looking really, really dangerous.
So, I said a force to be reckoned with come playoff time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. the next matchup we got to talk about, John and Mark taking another efficient win and gets the dub over Haniel. John and Mark have solidified their team. They're 7-4. They are a 4 seed in the playoffs right now. Yeah, they're a 4 seed. They're projected to play against Benny, which I'm sure they're not sad about in any way.
Yeah.
But yeah, efficient win. They didn't have that many minutes. Their team had about 1669 minutes, where Haniel's team had a little over 1800. So to be, wow. Yeah, to like edge out a win like that and have 200 less minutes played, it's pretty crazy, but it speaks to the efficiency of their team. And we've seen it in weeks past. The biggest thing about John and Mark though, is this week is going to be the true test. They do play Shokan's team.
Wow. This is the original beef.
This is the original beef. They called out. They called out Shokan last week and said,
"Yeah,
Nick is our pick to win the league, win the conference." So this will be the true test for them. And I think we lost Garrett again. So I'm going to move on and keep rolling with the MVP for John and Mark is Giannis, of course, 134 minutes, 61%.
I'm back.
Nice. Just saying, Giannis is my MVP pick for the week for John and Mark. 61% of the field, crazy. 40 rebounds, 32 assists, 5 blocks, 110 points. Giannis does everything you'd want. You just hope that his free throw percentage keeps going up a little bit. And so lastly, the final matchup we have to talk about, John and Joe, and John pulls it out to keep himself alive for the playoffs for another week. His MVP of the week, Norman Powell. Crazy stats. If you literally look at Norman Powell's box score from this week, 179 minutes, 53% from the field, 80% from the line, 21 threes, 7 steals, and 139 points. For a guy that I dropped so early on in the year thinking, hey, this guy's not going to get enough playing time, he doesn't have a shot, he's really come back. It's wild.
That's a I guess I don't think that's happened to me yet this season. You got to tell me what that feels like from your perspective of dropping this guy and then he has a crazy week like this.
Not great. I mean, if I had Norman Powell on my team, it probably would have helped when I played Shokan and maybe would have, you know, edged out a win finally instead of steering into the mud like I've been doing. But hey, that's
yeah.
You know, we make executive decisions and sometimes it doesn't work out like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So Garrett, I get to the point now. Any like statements for the league? Any final thoughts on where we are right now?
Well, first and foremost, I definitely want to thank the league for inviting me to join. I've had a blast being part of the NBA Boys League, listening to the podcast. The group chat always provides an astounding amount of entertainment on any given day, especially when there's NBA news. Mm-hmm. Also helpful with keeping track of Miles Powell, where he's at.
yeah, absolutely.
I do want to say that I think, you know, next year, you know, I've learned a lot from this year. Next year, I'm coming for the chip.
There you go.
I'm going to draft better. Put a little time and effort into it, and that money is going to be mine.
Love to hear it. So we can count on you for next year then, Garrett, officially?
And you lost me.
I said we can count on you next year officially. And I think we lost him again. And you know what? I would like to thank all of the listeners that are here with us today. This hasn't been the easiest podcast to listen to, I can imagine. This has been...
We're back.
Oh, we're back. We're back. This is a wild ride. Anyone that's still listening to this, I super highly...
I commend them.
Yeah, I commend you for getting through this. We got through a lot of firsts here. you know, this podcast truly was the story of Garrett and my own team season. But Garrett, I'm glad to hear that we can count on you next year for another season with us.
Super excited for it. And thank you, Fletch, for having me on the pod. A day I've been waiting for a while. I wish I could have given you better internet. I got full Wi-Fi bars, but I guess the megabytes per second isn't holding up.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll just have to have you on again when you're finally back in the United States, if you decide to come back, you know.
I'll come in as a commentator on the playoffs.
There we go. There we go. We could definitely have, you know, some sort of playoff call or group Zoom, whatever. We'll figure it out.
We'll do it.
Let's do it. Well, all right, man. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you calling in from so far away. And good luck the rest of the year. And let's see how this whole thing works out.
Hey, good luck to you too, Fletch. Let's mess up some brackets here.
Well, yeah, let's mess it up. This should be an interesting one to edit. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening again. And we'll see you next week.